Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brim classic, one that was made years ago in my ministry. I trust it'll bless you.
Father, we just praise you and give you glory. And you will notice that this beast, John the Revelator also saw this beast, and you will notice, let's look at the end of chapter, verse 8, it's called the beast that was and is not, and yet is. That's the Roman Empire. It was, then it went away, and now it's come back. And let's also look at chapter 13. Chapter 13 and chapter 17 speak of the Antichrist. I used to never, ever speak of the Antichrist. And then the Lord said to me, if you're going to be an end time teacher, and he'd call me to preach that Jesus is coming and talk about the end times, and he'd taken me to the places of the end time over and over. We've been to the Gaza Strip, I told you this morning, three times this year. We were there to the day that Arafat died. And so through no fault of our own, he has us in these places at amazing times. It's hard to imagine that I got there from a kitchen in Collinsville, Oklahoma, when he first spoke to me about the three groups of peoples, the Jews, the nations, and the church. But we see here in Revelation chapter 17, God told me, he said, it's all right. If you're going to preach about end times, you'll have to mention the Antichrist because he's a character. He's really even a sign of the Christ coming. I had heard someone say, I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Christ. So I thought, okay, I'll never, never, ever mention the Antichrist. And then the Lord said, you're not going to be able to teach very well on the end times if you don't, because he's in the Bible. But don't bother about it, he said. Every single place where it mentions him at all, it tells you in the next few verses that he gets it. In fact, God even is going to, but we shall read here. So here it's speaking of the Antichrist, and it says, verse 12 of chapter 17, and the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now the beast is the Antichrist. And this European Union revived, God says, they're going to give their power, their office, their platform to the beast. So the beast, the Antichrist, is going to operate off of the European Union. Now back to Daniel chapter 2. Don't lose Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, because we'll come back to them. I told you not to lose Daniel, and I lost him. But I'll find him again. Now, I want you to notice something about Daniel and the image Nebuchadnezzar saw. We're just going to look at a few words here, just to get a word. And that word that we're going to get is the word image. So look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest a great image. Verse 32. This image's head was of fine gold. Verse 34. You saw till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet. That's the kingdom of God. Down at the end of the times of the Gentiles, a stone cut out without hands, that means God has to do with it, is going to strike all these empires that have held sway over Jerusalem, going to strike them, and they're all going to come down. And then the stone is going to fill the whole earth, and it becomes, of course, the messianic kingdom of our Lord and Savior. But let's look at verse 35, the end of it. The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Thank God the stone strikes the image. Bless the Lord. Chapter 3. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, he swelled up because God told him through Daniel, the end of verse 38, you're this head of gold. So what does he think to do? He goes out and makes a big golden statue of himself. In fact, it is called a golden image. And we'll read about that in chapter 2:3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, a huge image. And this image was dedicated. Just imagine, we had the dedication of a lighthouse and we had the dedication of a baby, but they had the dedication of the image. So the end of verse 2, the dedication of the image, they told everyone, come to the dedication. Come to the dedication. Lord, I see something here. Come to the dedication of the image. Oh my goodness, I'll tell you later what the Lord just spoke to me. Come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They told everyone to come. Everyone come from all the vast kingdom. We're going to dedicate this image. The princes, verse 3, the governors, the captains, the judges, all the rulers of the province, everybody came to the dedication of the image. Verse 3, the end of it, that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. At what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the golden image. Verse 7 tells us, and when the people heard the music, they fell down and worshiped the golden image. And then we see in verse 8 that they had to fall down and worship the golden image. Verse 14 mentions the golden image, and verse 18 mentions the golden image, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not going to worship the golden image. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, and you know the story, one appeared there with them and delivered them. They came out without even the smell of smoke. Now, let's go over to chapter 13 of Revelation. When the Antichrist comes, he's got this image business on his mind. And he's going to come forth. Revelation 13, 14. The false prophet's going to come forth. Verse 14, Revelation 13, 14. The false prophet deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now, when the beast comes forth, let's go back to Revelation 13. This is the Antichrist. And it speaks of the beast. And it says at the end of verse 2, the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. When the Antichrist comes forth, Satan, the dragon, gives him his throne, his power, and his authority. He has, I noticed that at the end times in the Bible, it doesn't seem so much like atheism is the problem as false religion and false worship of the Antichrist and the prophet. And so here it says, of the prophet, verse 14, he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make what? An image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark and the name of the beast and the number of his name. And if you look at chapter 16, the end of verse 2, Revelation 16, 2, it speaks of the men which had the mark of the beast and them which worshiped his image. So we see here, over and over, the use of the word image. Now, I've been going to Europe for many, many years. I've been going to Brussels, which is the capital of the European Union. And for many, many years, ferreting out information, checking things out, looking here, looking there, for signs of this European Old Roman Empire revived, that the Bible speaks of, which will be the platform for the Antichrist to work off of during, especially the tribulation period. And I can tell you, it's coming forth. Now, years ago, maybe 22 years ago, 23 years ago, I was crossing the Rhema campus, and Patsy Bierman, then head of prayer at Rhema, asked me to come and pray with a young couple that felt called to start a church in Brussels, Belgium. Their name is Rude, John Rude, and his wife Liliane. John had been a Bible school student at one of the Assemblies of God schools in Springfield, and then had come to Rhema. And she was the daughter of a missionary couple. She actually was raised in the Congo. Her father was even born in Africa. She was born in Africa, brought up in Africa, and she's tough missionary stock. And those two young people, Patsy said, they feel led to go to Brussels and start a church. So will you come pray with them? So we went into the prayer room at Rhema to pray, and I'm telling you, the power of God came on us. I don't know that I ever prayed about such a subject, that the power of God came on us. And literally, we fell under that power, absolutely almost like tossed by that power. It was the power of God. It was a good power, but it was strong and it was upon us. And then they went to Brussels and had a great prayer meeting, and out of the prayer meeting started a church. The way his church started, he went over there and announced, you know, I'm here to start a church, and no one came. Just a few, one or two or three. And then he got a telephone call from one of the higher up people in the realm of transportation across borders from the European Union. Had a very high office, very high official of the European Union. And he said to John, someone told me you have the power to stop, to break spells. He said, someone put a spell, I've got a spell on me. And someone told me you had the power to break spells. And he said, what it is, I cannot stop looking at the sun. He'd been at a meeting, it was a New Age meeting, somehow, I don't know, got over into sun, business about sun worship, and his eyes were drawn to the sun, and he couldn't stop looking at the sun. And he had enough sense to know that if he looked at the sun, he's going to go blind. So he's living in a house, he's wearing dark shades, he keeps all of his blinds pulled, he has an office at the European Union, he's got to go to work every single day, but he can't have any light in his office, and he calls this preacher, and he says, someone told me you can break spells. Well, John knew that what he needed to do was cast a devil out, but he told him, yes, I can break spells. So John went up to the European Union, high up in their offices in their big parliament building, went into the man's office, cast the devil out of him. The man was so happy to be free, and he could walk and live a normal life again. And he started telling everybody about John and Lillian's church. And now in John and Lillian's church, which I go to several times a year, it's a blessing to go there, and there will be ambassadors from other nations who really know what's going on. There are a lot of people who come from other nations and work in and around the European Union who are really ambassadors for the Lord. Just think about Joseph. He was in Egypt. Just think about Daniel. He was in Babylon. Just think about Esther. She was even married to the Persian king. So God has his people in places of authority in things that are happening in the world. And we work with a lot of these people, pray with a lot of these people, bless the Lord, in this European Union revived. Now, this throne of the beast, this image, we'll talk about it, and we did see where this image, I want to get back to this image. So John Rood, Lillian, and I have gone around, maybe you've heard some of our tapes about the Palais de Justice, the weird things that are going. Folks, sometimes I think, well, people think she's nuts. I cannot tell you of the weirdness that's going on in Europe. It is so weird, it's unbelievable. One of the weird things is this book, The Da Vinci Code. Have you heard of it?
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.